right, welcome to this edition of the Justice Team podcast. Today we'll be talking trucking and things, trucking and that. We have none other than one of our partners at the Simon Law Group, Mr. Evan Garcia.
Hello, hello, hello.
He's talked to us about AI and PI. Now he's doing some trucking, which he does a lot of. And we also have on our color commentator, my co-host today, Mr. Ryan Conger. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
He's actually wearing a suit jacket, which I find a little intimidating. So if you have any questions about the show or have any general legal questions or what you want to hear, go to justiceteamnetwork.com. Click that button for a consultation. We'll get back to you or pick your favorite show. So we're going to jump right into this one because we like to be very specific and quick hitty with these. Practical stuff, quick hitty.
Quick hitty.
Is that a word? Quick hitty?
I think it is.
Sure.
I think it's on the Urban Dictionary.
Ooh, don't go there.
Okay. Well, anyways, we're going to go straight into practical stuff for our listeners. We have, you know, young lawyers, maybe they pick up a trucking case. Evan, where do they hide coverage? What's the best way? Like we get these police reports. Yeah. So what do we do? We get a police report. It's a rear-end car crash, seems like admitted liability. And they tell us, you know, we got in California, we got the minimum for interstate, $750K. What are our next steps?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, you know, you can pop open a little Google search here. And, you know, literally this will get you there. Safer space web space and then enter the motor carrier name. And the first result's going to be.
Wait, we do that again just for listeners.
Safer, S-A-F-E-R, mm-hmm. space web space, enter the motor carrier's name. And the very first link that's going to pop up is going to be the snapshot that the federal government maintains on that motor carrier.
Wait, so you're saying we go to Google right now?
Google it up, yeah.
And say it's Wild Trucking.
You go to Safer space web space Wild Trucking, enter, and no joke, the first result that pops up should be the website maintained by the federal government, and it's essentially the Safer web snapshot of that motor carrier's history. And then, you know, it takes a little getting used to it. There's a little legend as you navigate the options. But, you know, with some digging here, you can find out potentially, with, I'd say, high confidence, the available coverage, you know, some of the averages of their, you know, if they're under or over national averages and inspections. I mean, it's a pretty cool tool. And so I think that's number one where you look. And you can get an idea of where they're, you know, domiciled. They're going to have diversity issues, because that's something to be mindful of, is, you know, where is this case going to be venued? You know, at JUMP. So those are things that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, so if we're speaking venue here, I mean, you got to look at what are some different choices that we may have where we're going to file or have it, and why would we make those choices?
Yeah, and you know, I know Ryan had one, the Hansen case that you guys tried that you know, I think this played out, but some of the things that you need to look at, obviously, is, you know, the two obvious options is where does the defendant reside? And then also, you know, what is home base for the motor carrier? You know, personally, we have a lot of cases out here in California. I think it's hard to beat California State Court. But, you know, you're going to have, in many instances, you're going to have, particularly because obviously, you know, these trucking cases are intrastate travel. You know, you might have we have a case right now where the defendant driver is from North Carolina, but the motor carrier is based here in California. Well, obviously, you need to make sure you name the motor carrier and keep it in California State Court. And there's other reasons, like, you know, for instance, Texas recently passed a bill that directly affects, you know, commercial motor vehicles and essentially allows the defense to bifurcate the liability and the damages phases. And so, you know, you need to be kind of abreast of, you know, let's just say some legislative issues in the various jurisdictions to help you decide if you have a few options.
I know, you know, our firm and others, they lean on you pretty heavily, you know, within Justice HQ about trucking stuff. I think, you know, you, George Jones, Jay Vaughn are probably the top three, and Joe Fried.
How
they get a hold of you to be able to just, hey, Evan, fucking run this down.
Yeah, you know, Evan at justiceteam.com is always a good spot.
Up the cell phone.
Yeah, ready? Let me look at Bob real quick.
No, you can give him my cell phone. It's okay.
Well, I think that's the best place, and always happy to help. I think the one thing that I, you know, here's practical tips. Got to move fast. Got to get a preservation letter out. Got to let them know that you're looking, you're lurking around, so they keep the relevant information. Happy to share those. I mean, you can probably Google one and get halfway there.
But what are you looking for? I mean, like, they just say you go on this safer, and it shows that they, you know, they have a 750K policy, they got six trucks, and you're like, there's got to be something more to this puzzle.
Who
else could be responsible for this, and what else are you looking
for? Yeah, well, and kind of depending on, because here's the trap. I mean, depending on what your potential damages are, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. But so let's say you are looking for, more coverage. You know, in some instances, the trailer attached to the tractor may have its own policy that as defined in that policy, will provide coverage to the event. And so might be an option.
Well, how do we figure out who's responsible for?
Well, you got to do some digging. And I think one of the most important documents, and a lot of people will agree, I think, with me here, is it's tough to get in pre-lit, but is the bill of lading. I mean, that is a document.
L-A-D-I-N-G, lading.
Yeah, it's going to provide you.
Not ladying, like our tall
lady.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you can do both. But bill of lading, it provides you a lot of relevant info. And kind of obvious, when you're reading it, you should be able to kind of identify some of the players. A lot of times there'll be a broker, which is another potential source for recovery. But you can Google it too. You can educate yourself, with chat.
And broker is where like somebody needs to haul something, goes to somebody and they say, hey, we'll find somebody to haul this for you. But that broker is ultimately responsible for.
Yeah, they certainly can be. Yeah.
And that broker might not be on anywhere, not on either truck, not on the trailer, just might be in that bill of lading.
Yeah. So definitely try to get your hands on that. And so for instance, we have a case. Obviously there's no obligation to share information, pre-lit, but we have a case and they reach out to me, tragic, unfortunate, wrongful death here. Going to be venued in Texas, happened in New Mexico. And they reached out, essentially waving the white flag, we know we're responsible, let's explore some early resolution. The answer is, all right, no problem, but I need to do my due diligence. First off, what's your limits? I think they have a million, and I need the bill of lading. And in that case, they appreciate that in this situation, the unfortunate passing of an individual, a father of two, that $1 million isn't going to get it done. And so they're game. They want to see if they can find more coverage. And so he shared that with me, and that allows me to contact them and kind of go from there. And so overall, I still would want caution. I mean, these are things you can talk to me about. Jay Vaughn's a great resource, Jordan Jones. There's a lot of guys out there that have some experience. But got to move fast and be mindful of not biting off more than you can chew. These things get expensive, and you don't want three defense lawyers when you can only deal with one if necessary.
Hey, speaking of moving fast, a lot of these trucking companies have teams, legal teams, that get out to site like the same day.
The heat teams.
Is there anything that as a plaintiff lawyer you can do if you find out about this thing, the same day that it happens to build your case up right away?
I mean, you got to do the preservation letters that Evan's talking about for everybody you see on the safer, right?
And that's a good point, Ryan. I think, you can call up some maybe you have some reconstructionists or some folks or, an investigator on the scene and at least get them out there and start taking some photos. Because what is helpful, and I think you and I had a case where the debris that was left over on the interstate, kind of along the concrete barrier that separates eastbound westbound, and as long with some of the the tread marks or I should say skid marks from the various tires, that goes away, and it was important to take pictures of that. And I think that case is still going, and unfortunately federal government's involved, so it's in fed court. But anyways, that wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have some of those evidence that evidence. Had we not hired, the investigator to get out there quickly, and that's a little more cost effective than sending out, a full blown recon team with laser scanners. I mean, if you can do that and it warrants it, well, maybe do that. But you do need to act fast.
Yeah, and speaking of acting fast, Evan, I know you got to take a quickie out of here.
Yeah,
we're gonna lean into Ryan right now, because Ryan, I want to start talking to you about the litigation side of things, because you did stuff on the defense, right?
I did. Yeah.
Well, and before I bounce out and forgive me here. Gonna go pick up my son from his last day of school. But Ryan just shared with me an incredible lawyering story, and I think it has periphery of some commercial vehicle items of this tire blowout case, and this is real lawyering, so I hope you get into that.
We'll get into it at some point today. But I always, Brandon always laughs when I say only a few things are certain in life. death, taxes, and truck drivers testify shitty.
You know, my dad being an ex-trucker now, Big Bob works the firm, but his handle was Mr. Potato Head, if you guys are wondering. That was it. But he would give fantastic – no, he wouldn't give fantastic testimony.
Look, I used to sit there and defend a lot of these drivers, and, I mean, they – I would just squirm because I knew that some bad testimony was coming out. I mean, in that Hansen case, remember the driver became kind of your star witness.
Oh yeah. They were disputing liability in that case, which is just whatever. So, you know, Ryan, we talked about stuff to do emergently, you know, I think get investigated, at least somebody take some photos. And I think something people need to be cognizant of is when you hire that expert and you get to that site inspection, you might be doing some black box downloading. You know,
absolutely.
You got to hire somebody that's actually specialized to download that box.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to have the right experts in these cases, no doubt about it.
Yeah, because some of it, like, it's a very specific type of download and license that's different per truck or per DDEC or whatever you want to call the black box. Because there's so many more things you can find out. I mean, have you ever seen the crazy shit you could see if somebody knows what they're looking for?
These black boxes are more sophisticated and contain a lot better information than just your regular, you know, motor vehicle black box.
And if you have somebody that doesn't know how to do the download, they just get the basics. But you can get you can get days worth of stuff. Sometimes, and especially car, you can get some cell phone information merges in there.
True. And I think one thing that for younger lawyers who don't do a lot of trucking cases that's important to know going into these things is, you know, when you're driving a big commercial vehicle like that, you're just held to a completely different standard. I mean, and there's, you know, I think when I very first started doing trucking cases, I didn't realize that. And then you look and you get the information. So talk to your expert, find out what the standard of care is for driving a vehicle like that.
Yeah, so what are some resources that we can use when we're looking at that heightened duty for motor vehicle carriers, or some resources we could use?
It's their own training materials. Mm. So these companies have their own training materials. And then there's the defensive drive. I can't remember the name of the manual, but there's the defensive driving manual. And it's, I mean, it's a standard, frankly, that is difficult to meet.
And, you know, you have like the California handbook. There's a one for trucking too. There's a lot of, I mean, if you look at it, it's fascinating because I was, you know, had a child coming up that settled, but in that handbook, they have stuff that even goes to like human factors type stuff. It'll tell you how far behind you're supposed to be trailing, how many seconds you're supposed to be behind. And it goes to a lot of these visibility stuff that you can then thrash the experts on because it's their policies and procedures. But I think in these trucking cases is there's so many rules out there that if you find the rules and you walk the truck driver down the line, they can show how many different rules they violated.
That's right. And they always are going to admit that is the standard. I mean, that's it. You know, were you taught and trained to do this? Were you taught and trained to do this? Were you taught and trained to do that? And they almost are always violating multiple of those standards.
Yeah. And one of the big ones that people don't realize is like inspection of safety stuff, the tires.
That's right.
Like, and a lot of times they don't document this stuff for weeks or months. And it's like, and then that's an issue. Like we have a lot of cases where like a tractor trailer is either making a huge U-turn or a left, or for some reason stalls and is in the middle of the highway and another car just comes driving by and essentially almost gets decapitated from underneath the cab.
Same goes for buses, by the way. They're held to that. All these big vehicles are held to that standard. One thing I like to do is depose the trainer for the company, because that person is always going to give you, you know, to the letter of the rule or to the letter of the law, the standard.
Yeah, I mean, Evan said he had to pick, I think he had diarrhea, so we we excuse his absence for the, we take this moment to endorse Pepto-Bismol for all your needs. Imodium AD. Thank you, Evan. So on these underwrite cases, you know, we talk about some other angles of liability, because sometimes we've had huge results where the police report will put the deceased at fault or the party at fault that we're representing, but there's always more to the story.
Always. Yeah.
And what are some steps that you take to kind of, because you're a digger. You're a digger.
What do I do to,
I mean, you always, I see you always hire investigators to go door knock and figure some shit out.
And a lot of times, yeah, you could get, you got to get video. You got to talk to witnesses. You got to look. I mean, we just had a case recently where we had a ring camera video get sent to us. Like a week later, we had an investigator go out, talk to everybody at the scene. There was a liquor store nearby. Everybody said no video. And then all of a sudden, randomly, we get an email from a neighbor who had gotten our email address. And there's a ring video of the incident. as it happened.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, there's just so much. There's another company. I don't know if you've heard of this, Ryan, but it's called Turn Signal, I think. And they actually have access to all of the state highway cams. So with a subscription, you can actually like see all of them within your state and like go back to a specific day and see what you can find. It's crazy. I think it's called Turn Signal. I'll find that out. But yeah, I see the guy that found that. I saw he's speaking with, I'm at ClioCon this year and he's speaking too. And I've been trying to look at his product, but I was in Louisville last week with Jay Vaughn and some others, and they use this. I was like, holy shit. This
we're going to cool. get to a point in life where everything's on video.
Oh, yeah. We're on video right now.
That's right. And so many times they tell you, oh, the video wasn't working that day or that it wasn't recording at the time of the accident. And I think you got to embrace that, too, and just say, really? You know, I think the jury's going to roll their eyes at something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Evan just had a recent verdict where they were denying liability for a bus, and they had every camera angle on that bus except for like the critical one that would have shown everything that happened.
Of course.
I mean, come on. Like, no one's going to buy your shit after that. But, you know, you go back to deposing the trainer, the policies and procedures, and they admit, yeah, well, that should have been on. Yeah, that would have been the critical area. Yeah, we screwed up.
Right. You're going to get that.
Yeah. And I think lay witnesses are the best that we can dig up on these.
For sure.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up this session of wild trucking. Just practical how-tos on this one from the Justice Team podcast. I think we takeaways today is how to find coverage, what to do initially. These are just brass tacks that you should be doing in every trucking case. Go to justiceteamnetwork.com and hit us up if you have any questions or concerns or want to hear more of Ryan's voice. If you think he should co-host more, let us know. I think he's kind of stinky, so we got to go.
Let's go.
All right. Thank you all.
Bye.